All right, we got a lot of news to talk about, Alexander, with Russia and Ukraine. A lot of weird things taking place. On the one hand, you have, countries and leaders like Italy and Germany. You did a video on Germany on your channel. Even Macron and France are saying, Russia, we don't see any signs that Russia's going to invade Ukraine. What are you guys talking about? On the flip side, we have a lot of European countries sending troops, and the UK specifically sending weapons to Ukraine, moving troops east. We have the US now saying that they're thinking of moving troops east. You have, I believe yesterday, the US issued a warning for embassy and families of embassy employees in Ukraine to consider leaving the country. They told citizens as well to perhaps take commercial flights out of the country. I mean, they didn't really say everyone has to evacuate. They kind of issued these warnings and these recommendations. You have the UK today that came out and kind of, I think they even went a step further, and they said that they're going to start winding down things at the embassy. I mean, you may want to clarify exactly what the official statement is from the UK embassy in Ukraine. We also have some news, which I think is very interesting. And that is that the Ukraine economy is completely imploding. I read that their economy is much worse than the Turkish economy, and we've been documenting the Turkish economy quite in detail here. So the fact that Ukraine's is worse, the worst in Europe, no doubt about it, is very interesting. We noted that Timoshenko actually blasted Zelensky for his lack of transparency with regard to the Ukraine economy. So maybe there's a lot of the fact that the whole Ukraine project has completely collapsed, and maybe they want to cover that up as well. Anyway, a lot of strange things going on with regards to Russia and Ukraine. Let's try to clear it up. Looking at the surface before you jump into it, Alexander, from the outside in, if I saw all these moves, embassies closing or recommendations to close embassies, I would say, oh my God, a war is coming tomorrow. These are like the moves where you say, oh crap, all hell's going to break loose. That's if I was looking at this from very far away and wasn't really in tune with the story, wasn't watching us. But yeah. What do you think is going on here?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's important always to say that the possibility of a war in this part of the world is always very real. We can't just discount that possibility. I don't think the Russians are planning an invasion, but it's entirely possible that something could be done by some crazy person in Ukraine or even in the US, which could lurch us into a military confrontation, and that could happen at any time. But I think before we discuss that, let's just consider how weird, how really, really bizarre this whole situation now is. Firstly, we have that absolutely crazy story coming out of Britain about how the Russians were going to install a puppet government in Kiev, picking a man, Yevgeny Muravyov, whom absolutely nobody had heard of. I mean, I hadn't. I mean, I'm not saying nobody had heard of, but I mean, he's not even an important personality in Ukraine itself. Many people there hadn't heard of him. And even the Ukrainians themselves are utterly baffled and can't make any kind of sense of this story. And of course, he is reveling in all the attention he's got. He's giving interviews. He's posing as James Bond. I mean, the whole thing is that was already a very, very weird affair. Then after that, we got all this talk about, withdrawing embassy staff. And first of all, the US was going to withdraw families. It's going to tell Americans to leave Ukraine. It's telling the families of staff in Ukraine, they've been told to leave. And by the way, people who do voluntary work at the US embassies and in the diplomatic staffs in Ukraine, they're being told to leave also, or at least they're being told that they can leave if they wish. So, they're pulling people away from their embassy. And the British, of course, having already come up with this really bonkers story about the puppet government, they're now apparently going a whole step further. And they're downscaling their embassy in Ukraine. So we start with a couple of days ago with the British sending light anti-tank weapons, which, by the way, I mean, I'm not a military person, but I have sought some guidance on this, and I'm told that in this kind of conflict, those light anti-tank weapons would be absolutely of no use whatsoever. They're not really practical in the sort of rapid maneuver war that we could be seeing if there was a war. So that was a token action, and it's combined. So the British sending weapons which Ukraine doesn't need, won't be trained to use in any kind of logical time scale, aren't going to change the military balance in any specific way. At the same time as the British sending weapons in, they're pulling diplomats out. And of course, what that is doing is it's making the Ukrainians extremely nervous. Ukrainian government has now come out and said that all these moves are premature. The United States has admitted that there's no actual intelligence, new, fresh intelligence, that would justify these sort of steps. The Europeans are openly sceptical. The Europeans are saying that they will not downscale their embassies in Ukraine, at least not for the moment. And in the meantime, coming back to your point about Ukraine's economy, what all this is doing is that, of course, it's causing growing concerns within Ukraine. And these are starting to impact on what was already a very shaky economy. Now, Ukraine has been badly hit this year. Firstly, there's been the disruptions caused by the pandemic and all the things that have gone on with that, which are universal. Then, of course, there's the worldwide inflation, which has hit Ukraine extremely badly. Then, on top of that, there is the fact that Ukraine is having to pay very, very high prices for its energy. It doesn't have enough gas in its underground gas storage systems. It's having covertly to obtain gas from Europe, which is essentially, well, not gas from Europe. What's actually happening is that the Germans, the Europeans, are diverting gas through the Yamal pipeline. Putin has said so. To Ukraine, which was originally intended for Germany. And that's causing, by the way, German and European gas reserves to fall even further. It's a story that hasn't been properly discussed. And now, on top of all of that, with all this talk of war, Ukraine is struggling to raise funds in international market, money markets, because who in their senses is going to provide Ukraine with loans at this time? And Ukraine, of course, needs funds in order to continue to buy, to pay for its imports, its key imports of energy and materials. Ukraine runs principally a trade deficit. So this is pushing the economy down into an ever further downward spiral. And of course, on top of all of that, Ukraine's having to mobilize people in order to, you know, show that its army, its military is ready in some way for this war. And of course, if you start mobilizing people, you're taking them away from their jobs. But of course, you also have to pay them. It is an expensive thing to do. It is fueling inflation within Ukraine as well. So if you want it to destabilize Ukraine's economy, you're going about it in the right way. It's creating increasing tensions within Ukraine's economy. And now Ukrainian economists are talking about the possibility of default, a default on Ukraine's foreign financial obligations would immediately result in a breakdown of the banking system, and would lead rapidly to not just inflation, but probably hyperinflation, worse than anything we're seeing in Turkey. And the point you were making about the situation for Ukraine being worse than Turkey, at the present time, it seems Ukraine is having to pay higher premiums on it when it tries to raise loans in international money markets than Turkey is. So that gives you a sense of how bad the situation is. And remember, it's never been good in Ukraine at any point since the end of the Soviet Union. It is now the poorest country in Europe by GDP per capita, and it's getting poorer. So, I mean, this is an extraordinarily ill-conceived thing. And, of course, pulling diplomats out of Ukraine, you know, heighten the sense of crisis, deepen the sense of crisis even more. And then we have all these troop movements. So we have ships and warships. And notice none of the major European powers, not the French, not the Germans, not the Italians. We're getting the Danes and the Dutch and the Spanish. They're sort of moving their ships around. None of that is going to impress the Russians in any conceivable way. And we're getting stories from the United States that if there was a war in Ukraine, well, presumably the 82nd and 101st Airborne Divisions would be flown rapidly to Bulgaria and Romania, where they would, of course, have absolutely nothing to do. There'd be just 5,000 of these troops, which, of course, if it ever really came to a war in that part of the world, which it wouldn't, by the way, the Russians would be able to swat aside because they can massively outnumber these troops. An important thing to understand about US airborne troops is that they're highly trained and they're courageous and very professional soldiers. They are very lightly armed. So they don't have the heavy armour, the heavy artillery, that sort of thing that would be needed to take on the Russian army. And in order to fight effectively, they would need massive backup. And in fact, what you'd have to do is to send all kinds of further armoured reinforcements to Europe, which would essentially be there for no other purpose than to protect these lightly armed troops. So it doesn't actually make a great deal of military sense, as I understand it, either. But anyway, we have all of this going on. And why is it happening? Why are we having all these dramatic stories? Why are we having these weird stories about puppet governments, about embassy staff, people being taken out of Ukraine? Why are we having all these troop movements and talk of airborne forces being flown into the Balkans and all those sort of things? Well, is it to impress the Russians? Well, of course not, because the Russians are fully able to do all the sums. They could see how completely nonsensical all of this is. They, of course, are fully aware of the economic pressures on Ukraine. It's been done to exert pressure on the Europeans. The Germans, the French, the Italians are openly sceptical. They're openly sceptical about the possibility of a war in Ukraine. They're heading, it seems, to negotiations in Paris, where the United States is not going to be invited. Negotiations involving Germany, France, Ukraine and Russia. The United States will not be present. And the Germans and the French, and especially the Germans, are proving extremely unwilling to agree to the sanctions demands that have been piled upon them. So all of these moves, in my opinion, are not really addressed at the Russians at all. They're intended to impose pressure on the Germans and on the French and on the Italians, but especially the Germans, in order to get them to take this crisis seriously and to make the Germans commit to doing things that they don't want to do.
Right, like cancelling Nord Stream 2.
Like cancelling Nord Stream 2. Or threatening to do so. Something which they have consistently refused to do up to this moment.
Right. This whole narrative has completely gotten out of the hands and control of the Biden PR spin team. Yeah. I mean, they can't control this anymore. It's completely just gone off the deep end. Let me read you something from an RT article, which has the title, Ukraine Could Default, Economist Warns. Speaking to business outlet Capital on Thursday, the country's director of the Department of Economic Policy of the Federation of Employers, Sergei Salivan, said Kiev has recently been drawing in external commercial borrowing at extremely high rates. According to him, the profitability of both short and long-term securities have spiked to inadequate levels. Quote, the cost of default insurance, this is key, the cost of default insurance for Ukraine has multiplied and has overtaken Turkish swaps. the official said, referring to Ankara's economic crisis, which has seen the lira plunge in value, high inflation, soaring borrowing costs, and rising loan defaults. You know, if the United States or NATO sends troops to Ukraine in order to fight some more, they're sending them into a meat grinder. They're just going to get just chewed up. But it looks like what they're really doing, I mean, in reality, what's happening is that they're sending the Ukraine economy into a freaking meat grinder. Ukraine is going to collapse. The economy at this, if this hysteria continues, yes, Ukraine will collapse, which once again comes back to our main point as we've been covering the story from the beginning. Russia has zero need to fire one shot, one bullet, move one tank, because Ukraine's going to completely fall apart without them doing anything. Yeah. And this is all at the hands of the Biden White House and this miscalculated, I don't know, bizarre PR optics, Biden 33% approval exercise. I don't know what the hell this is about, but boy, have they really messed up. In Ukraine, I mean, looking at their economy, Alexander, things are really, really bad. And I believe that Russia even has a court case against them as well, with where they may lose. Absolutely. And that may trigger a default with regards to the Paris Club. So, I mean, things are really, really bad.
Absolutely. I mean, the court case is in the Supreme Court at the moment in Britain, and it's about this $3 billion loan that Ukraine took out with Russia back in 2013. That has been going backwards and forwards. It's an incredibly prolonged story, and the British courts have been spinning it out for as long as they possibly can. But it's now reached the point where the British courts have to make a decision. I think every lawyer, commercial lawyer, who's looked at this says that the Russians should win. I mean, it's impossible, realistically, to see why they would not win. I mean, you'd have to make some very creative legal decision-making to come up with some alternative decision. And, of course, doing that would put at risk London's position as a major financial centre, because it would be basically rewriting modern commercial law. Well, of course, if the Supreme Court decides that Ukraine does owe these $3 billion to Russia and Ukraine can't pay that money, which it can't, then Ukraine defaults. It defaults to a member of the Paris Club. It's no longer entitled in that case to IMF funding, because the laws, the rules on this are absolutely clear as crystal, despite what some people think. And at that point, Ukraine's economy collapses. So it's already a delicate situation. They're spinning it out, as I said, as long as they possibly can. But even putting that aside, you see what this false crisis is doing to the economy of Ukraine. It's creating panic. Zelensky went on television, national television, to tell people to stay calm, not to take their money out of the banks, not to panic buy. Well, you can understand now why he's doing that. If Ukraine is finding it impossible or incredibly difficult to raise overnight, to raise loans, to keep his banking system liquid. And the other point, and you're absolutely right to say, the default swaps and all of that, that shows how nervous the international financial community is about keeping Ukraine going at the moment. Because, of course, they're worried about this court case in London, of that I've no doubt. But the ultimate concern is, if there is a war in Ukraine, how does Ukraine pay? What Ukraine will be left to pay. And so nobody is going to lend money to Ukraine at this point, except at utterly extortionate rates. Ukraine can't keep that going for very long. It's not got enough gas in its underground gas reserves to see it through the winter, even with its help from Europe. Europe is draining its own reserves by sustaining Ukraine through this bizarre project, you know, so-called reverse flow via the Yamal pipeline. And, of course, all of this is deepening the crisis. And it's all a consequence, as you completely rightly say, of what increasingly looks to me like a PR exercise which has run out of control. The Russians are getting everything they want by not making a single threat and not moving a single tank. The Biden administration is doing it all for them.
All right, so where do we go from here? The only options I can see, maybe there's more, but either Russia provides both Europe and the U.S., the Biden administration, with some kind of off-ramp so that they can somehow get out of this mess that they've created. Either the Biden administration or some crazy neocons or some crazy nutcases in Kiev has to start a war because it's a complete meltdown of the country. Or they just continue on this trajectory, but how long can they keep this going? And then, you know, Kiev just melts down anyway. Ukraine melts down anyway. And Biden continues to melt down as well. 33% approval. Why not 20% approval? I mean,
well, indeed. Well, indeed.
How does this shake out?
Well, this is a very good question. Now, there is an off-ramp, and the Russians have signaled quite clearly what it is, which is that the Europeans and the Americans return to the Minsk Agreement of 2015. Ukraine enters into negotiations with the leaders of the Donbass republics. It can be done in ways that would perhaps massage the political effects of all of this, but the long-term result is major autonomy is granted to the Donbass, and the political structures of Ukraine are changed, and that takes the subject of Ukraine off the agenda, and then we can go on, I suppose, discussing Russia's demand for legally binding security guarantees. That's not going away now. But in the meantime, the situation with respect to Ukraine itself is stabilized and the situation is diffused. And here I'm going to say something about our locals platform, because I have been trying for several days now to find the original discussion in the UN Security Council, which took place in March 2015, when the Russians put the Minsk Agreement before the UN Security Council for approval. And I struggled to find it, but somebody on Locals, one of our community there, was able to do it. A person whom all I know is he's called Jay Fletcher, or she's called Jay Fletcher. And sure enough, the United States voted for the Minsk Agreement, as did Britain, as did all the Western powers. They supported it unanimously. In other words, they supported unanimously a agreement which sets out a pathway to peace in Ukraine, which requires direct negotiations between Ukraine and the leaders of the Donbass. So all they have to do is to do that which they voted for in the UN Security Council back in 2015, and that would de-escalate the crisis. That is the off-ramp. And I wonder whether eventually we might actually see that happen in truth. But if they don't do that, if they keep on this hysteria, because to be straightforward about it, there are some people within the US government and in Congress who hate the Minsk Agreement. Victoria Nuland actually staged a walkout from a conference in Germany because of it. If this continues, if this hysteria continues, then it's a very good question. Will there be anything of Ukraine left at the end of this? Will Ukraine get through the winter? Will we see a complete breakdown of the economy? Will we see hyperinflation? There's already protests in Ukraine because of the fact that Ukraine is running out of young men, apparently, to send to the front lines. Many of them, of course, don't even want to go. So they're trying to conscript women, or so I've heard. And that's proving very unpopular, too. I mean, what will be left at the end of this affair if they continue along the route they are?
Well, what will be left?
Well, what will be left?
To close out the video, I mean, well, okay, say they don't agree to the Minsk, which is very possible. I mean, they could say, no, we're never going to agree to Minsk.
Even though we said we would.
No chance, ever.
Very possible. I know.
What happens then? I mean, either they have to go through with a war, or a war, some sort of tripwire is activated and a war does happen. Okay, that's one path. Or they continue down this this kabuki theater thing. Well, I don't even know. This bizarre thing that we're witnessing.
Yeah.
Which is a meltdown for Ukraine, for Europe, for energy, for everything.
I know. Well, there's two possibilities. Possibility one, which is they switch the story off. I mean, that can happen. I mean, they suddenly stop talking about it. And, you know, we have these negotiations, but they sort of don't lead anywhere. And the story that's circulated, the cover story is, you know, well, the Russians were planning this invasion, but our great unity, our great president managed to deter them from doing it. I mean, deter the Russians from doing something that the Russians have always denied that they were ever going to do. But, you know, they try and switch the story off that way. That's one possibility. A much
Biden saved the day.
Yeah. Biden saved the day. I don't think anybody would believe that. Certainly in Europe, the diplomats, the ministries, people in governments, their faith in the United States has been badly shaken by this affair. And that's an important point to say. I mean, they're seeing a US an administration that is behaving eccentrically, and that's putting it mildly, and very recklessly too. So, you know, saying that this is all some great victory isn't going to really impress the people who really matter in Europe. But anyway, let's put that aside. That's one way out of this. The other way out of this would be to try to, as I said, if you can't get an off-ramp, is to actually try to make this story real by getting a war started. And I have to say, that is a real danger. I mean, we mustn't exclude that possibility at all. If you're talking about people like Blinken and Victoria Nuland, for them, rather than looking stupid, it's not impossible that they could see the way out of this by actually getting a war up and going, get some kind of sanctions package together, not one, as I said, that's going to make any great impact, but at least it would create divisions in Europe. And, you know, they would come away from this saying, you know, we stood up to the Russians, we've deployed these troops to the Balkans, we've done all that kind of thing. From their point of view, that might be the best outcome. It wouldn't be, let me stress, the best outcome for the United States. It would certainly not be a good outcome for Europe, but it might be the best outcome for Blinken and Nuland and co. So, I mean, we can't discount that possibility. I'm afraid it's a very real one.
Yeah. God. I mean, we knew the Biden administration was going to be bad, but I don't think we ever thought it was going to be this bad.
Nor did the Europeans, by the way. Well, I mean, the Europeans were wrong. I mean, you know, we thought it was going to be bad, and we didn't think it would be this bad. The Europeans thought it was going to be good, and the word is that they're absolutely disillusioned and very, very worried about it. And meanwhile, the Politburo in Beijing sits and watches.
As do the Russians. You said they're getting everything they want without having to do anything.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they haven't issued a single warning, a single threat, or moved a single tank. I mean, that's or even shown any of their tanks. I mean, this is the other utterly bizarre thing about this story. I mean, I've been tracking the news in Russia. I've been trying to find out what the Russian media is saying to the Russian people. And it's not about this story. It's about, you know, all kinds of other things, economics.
Yeah, they're completely calm.
I mean, certainly, I mean, they do cover the story, but in nothing like the extent to which it is being covered in the West.
Yeah, for a country that's about to invade another country, the media in Russia, like the Russian-speaking media, is really not that interested in this.
No, exactly.
I mean, they look at it more from the hysteria of the West than
absolutely
anything else.
Absolutely, that's exactly correct. Now, which is the major reason, by the way, why I'm deeply skeptical that this talk about invasion is true, because a government really intent on starting a war would surely be doing something to work up its own people, to prepare them for the fact that a war like this is coming. So the fact that the Russians aren't doing that, that they're just saying, look, if there's a war, if the Ukraine starts an attack on eastern Ukraine, then we will respond. But we have no plan to do something ourselves, and that they're not acting as if they think a war is likely. To my mind, that suggests that the Russians aren't actually planning anything.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, the country that's going to lose the absolute most out of all of this, whatever scenario you choose from the ones that we've laid out, is Ukraine.
Yeah, yeah, it is already, it's already losing. I mean, as we see, the economy is going into a tailspin, and that's going to accelerate. And of course,
and
by
we had
the way,
hopes for Zelensky. I mean, a lot of people had hopes for Zelensky.
No, absolutely.
I mean, we knew he was an actor and he played a clown. Yes. But when he was campaigning, yes, he did campaign on the platform that he would try to unite, you know, Ukraine, and he would go back to the table and sit down with the East.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, this is the other thing, and I just want to quickly finish perhaps the video on this point, which is that all this talk about, you know, Ukraine rising up and fighting the Russians to the last drop of their blood and how Ukraine is united in this matter. Zelensky's election proves the opposite. On the contrary, most Ukrainians are exhausted. Most Ukrainians want peace with Russia. They are not supportive of this kind of policy. And I think that anybody who thinks that there would be this massive uprising in Ukraine, the people of Ukraine, you know, some Ukrainian general tearing the Russians to pieces with their bare hands, I mean, all that kind of stuff, you can completely ignore it. There is no reality behind these sort of claims.
Was it Baghdad Bob?
Baghdad Bob. Well, indeed, yeah. Well, you know, you have the Americans do this. I mean, we had this in Afghanistan. Remember how the Afghan army was going to fight and defeat the Taliban all by itself, and it disintegrated within a few weeks. So, I mean, it's the same sort of illusions that people have. They just don't understand, it seems to me, the actual situation in Ukraine itself. Mm-hmm.
We'll leave it there. God, Biden is so, it's just so bad. I never expected it to be this bad.
No, I know. Anyway. or this dangerous, because it is very dangerous.
Yeah. All right. We'll leave it there. The Duran.locals.com, Odyssey, BitChute, Rumble, and Super U. Find us there and go to the Duran shop. Use the code GOODDAY. There it is. 10% off all merch. Take care.